because oftentimes some of the concepts that can be extremely valuable, they can almost seem, especially if we're talking about a spiritual nature, they can seem mysterious or deep or hidden. But if you once you get to the point where you understand them, I'm usually able to simplify and to put it in some kind of way that a broad audience can make can more easily understand. So I did that in business where I was taking like sales and marketing and different things that we had to do in business for business to be successful, and I just would do tons of research through audio and written and, you know, doing different kinds of research, and then distilling it down into the core and then putting it in a simple framework and then teaching that framework to others. And after the business, even people that left me and went on to other careers, 10 years later, they would tell me that everything that they learned about sales and dealing with customers, they learned from me, and they would come up and say, thank you. And I'm not saying it was me like trying to get accolades for myself. This is just sales knowledge that's out there in the world. There's a lot of people that spend their whole lives focusing on sales, but I did the research, and then I made it simple. And then when I shared it, it was in a way that they could understand, and I could actually feel when they were getting it. I think we talked about tendencies, the way that I can kind of feel. So when I have an audience, I can tell when they're getting it, and I can also tell when they're confused or stumbling. So because of that, I can then step back and make it even more simpler or come at it from a different angle in order so that it would get to the point where they could take it into their, you know, to their consciousness, and they could use it and first understand it and then use it. So that's who I am. I know that I'm a student. I love learning, and I have ability of discernment where I understand things, and then I have an ability to simplify it, and then simplify it, I have the ability to communicate in both a passionate way, but also a compassionate way, too. The two things are similar but different. The passion is the enthusiasm and the charisma and the excitement. That's part of it. But the compassion comes to almost like connecting on a heart level, on a soul level of individuals, and where you feel, you know, you really want to be helpful, and you can actually feel when it's that help comes to actually happen.
I must say that you've got quite a talent there, because there's a lot of people that, one, either they don't have that kind of knowledge in terms of sales or processes in a business. Some people may not even be aware of that. So I think to help you to bring your talent to fruition, it might be important to actually develop a system where you can show the value of what you have to offer, not just the doing of it, which you will do, but the presentation of what you're doing. I think that if you're discovering that your purpose, and every great student is always a great teacher. So I was like almost always a straight A student. I was always either number one, two, or three in almost every subject I've taken in my life. I've always risen to the top. And like you said, it has to be something that interests me. If it didn't interest me, I took one class and I said, well, you know, here's a computer science. I have to sit here with a machine all day. And it wasn't a connection to another human being. So I just didn't do it. You know, I was struggling in it. I was intelligent enough to figure out that, you know, I had a knack for numbers and money and business management and helping entrepreneurs and connecting with them and communication. And accounting allowed me to do that, because you get to do both. You get to do the calculation, the planning, the tax planning, the strategy, the back end systems, how I like to say how to keep the money legally and ethically. And of course, we allocate a percentage for taxes, or, you know, the government or IRS or something like that. But we also have to know allocation. There's a lot of allotment of different areas of income as it comes in. And of course, to make something profitable, we have to build in our profit margin, things like that. So there's quite a bit there that you're covering that I'm quite impressed with, because I have a great admiration for people that do things that I'm not good at, you know, because I know that if I were to try it, I know what I'm great at, and I know what I'm not so great at, or in fact, I'm downright bad at. And, you know, making things simpler in terms of a sales system is not something that I even have a clue how to do. So if you were to give us your very best, your best tips on how to take a system and or how to create a sales system that is very simple for the kind of, let's say, spiritual knowledge, what kind of language would you use so that it's not woo-woo, metaphysical, you know what I mean? I use those words because they're accurate in terms of what we have out there, but how can we break that down where the average person is not fearful of this knowledge and this, and they don't feel that it's something that, how do I explain, that it's something that is esoteric and out there, and you know, like sometimes saying that, you know, I'm intuitive is fine, but if I say that I'm psychic, sometimes people associate that with like a crystal ball or something, and they look down on it just because they're not educated, they're not they haven't taken the time to learn, or someone hasn't taken the time to inspire and educate and teach them about it. So I would love to hear, you know, what you have to say about that. Like what language and words would you use for some of the intuitive side of Lucky that you may, you know, that you may be more passionate about now, which is more on a spiritual level?
Well, that's definitely the case. I have really no desire to teach sales or to teach marketing or to teach business strategies, because although I understand there's different parts of a life that makes it healthy, and you know, finances are one, you need finances to be financially healthy, you know, you have your physical health and things like that. What I believe is the most important thing in life is the spiritual wellness of an individual, the spiritual well-being, because I believe that every other part is just an offshoot and grows out that spiritual source. So, yeah, finances are important, but it has as its essence a spirit. Relationships are important. It has as its essence the relationships and how you, you know, relate to people. Is spirit, your overall body, the physical body as its source is spirit. So the spiritual part is so important in my mind, and it's also part of the reason why I hesitated to actually go out and decide to go out to the world and share what I learned, and I'm still learning, because it's such a responsibility, because it's such a vital, and I'm not using that word lightly, but such a vital part of the overall well-being of a person, that I never wanted to misguide somebody or confuse them or have anything other than a positive result. I'm kind of getting over that, and I believe that I think if I do it in the right way, it'll happen. But so just that was just to clarify that I have no desire to do the spiritual business sales that I learned at one point in my life. Now it's more the sales part of it and business part. Now it's more the spiritual part of a person's life that I want to focus on. And you ask me, how would somebody do that? Some of the things overlap. Like in business, I think part of the reason I was successful in business is because I always took, without even knowing it at the time, a spiritual approach to how I related with people. And I think that anybody who's in that area or has a message or something that they're passionate with, the first thing you have to do is figure out what questions to ask, and there are certain questions that you could start with, and then the answer to the question might lead to another question, or you might have what I would call a question tree, like a whole lot of different questions. But not only that, you have to ask the questions, but even if you've heard the answer or think you know what the answer is going to be, you still have to open up your heart and do what I call lovingly listen. You have to listen with an open mind and an open heart, free of expectations, because then the people respond to that. They can tell that you're actually listening, and it's a subtle thing, but it's a really powerful thing. So one, ask the right questions, and two, listen with an open heart and an open mind. And even before you do that, you have to take some. You have to know that you are not trying to manipulate an outcome. And this is sometimes hard in business because we set goals and we have objectives and we have something that we want to happen. We want to get a new client. We want to make a sale. All that needs to, in my opinion, Indira, go out the window. Because if I'm trying, you know, if I'm thinking, if in the back somewhere deep, there's the desire to get a new client or convince somebody to take action that I want them to take, subtly they'll feel that. And it's not part of who I am right now. I don't want to, you know, I use the word manipulate, that's a little bit strong, but it's a lot of times the sales process for persuasion or influence is all somewhat manipulative. You know, you're going to ask these questions. Like when I had a business, I would ask questions trying to get to a result, and that result was to get a new customer and to make a new sale and have income for my business. I don't want to do that anymore. It has to be free that go into it listening. If you have one objective, it's to be helpful, and that you want to be a helpful person. And then I believe because of that, if we're in a spiritual loving, you know, business or endeavor or purpose, when you take that approach, you'll get rewarded because the universe or God or whatever you want to call it, it's going to reward you because you're relating with these souls and these spirits, and you're doing it in a way that's loving and helpful and, you know, free of trying to manipulate an outcome.
That's a really very interesting tip and a very interesting way of expressing, and your perspective on that is unique, I think. And you know, for me, it's always about giving and being of service and putting my time and energy. This week, I think, even with the baby and being pregnant, I've worked some really, really long hours in the last 2 weeks, more than 12, 14, 15 hours a day. And sometimes it's physically not so easy. I can mentally do it. But it creates you know, being a giver like that. So what would be the boundary for someone like myself that focuses on giving so much? And then, you know, you have people on the other end of the process that are, for example, you know, I'll give you, a real life example. If you give me 30 seconds to just grab some water, I'm super thirsty and I just need to grab a little bit of water. I'll be right back.
No, not a problem. Hey, can I ask you a question? Can you see me? Or I can see you, but you can't see me, can you?
No, I can't see you. So why don't we do this? I'm going to
pause. No, it's okay. I'm all right. I don't want necessarily want to be seen. I just wondered if I was like scratching my head if you could see that.
No, we couldn't, and I'm getting better at this. What I always think is like guests like you that are have so much to share. I think this is for the podcast. It's audio, so we won't be able to, use the video part of it. I'm just learning. This is like my third show or something. So I'm just trying to see like if I'm squirming around, if I'm comfortable, you know, if you're comfortable. And I'd love to do this again with you because you have so much to share. And you know, we'll see how, you know, the views and viewers and things are going to start to respond. I haven't started promoting the actual show yet, so one second.
Okay, cool. You get your water. You get your water.
Oh. Well, Jonathan brought it for me in my cup of tea earlier, so I guess he heard me ask you. And also, if you can help me out to get Lucky on the other end, I'd rather be able to see him. I can't for some reason.
Hi, Lucky. Do you have a webcam on your computer?
I do, and I wasn't asking because I want to be on camera. In fact, I'm
I would like to see you. I was like sitting here going for like a whole half hour. I'd like to see you where you're at.
Dear, you said that we'll do it another time, and I would like that too. We could have different topics that we could talk about if you want. I would be happy to do that. Right now, I had to. Yeah, that. I worked this morning before this, and I'm not really. I feel Kind of nasty. Yeah, we chewing. I was in the barn all morning, so I don't want to say nasty, but I'd rather not be on camera right now.
You're hanging out in the barn with some hay, and you're a cowboy.
That's right. Well, actually, where I live is on top of the barn. Like, so the barn, the horses are underneath me, and then I have a living space up at the top.
Well, sounds like a place I want to visit. I'll be honest with you, I love horses.
Yeah, well, you and your husband can come. If you want to come over here to Florida, it's a pretty place.
Yeah, my brother is out there in Orlando, so this is amazing topic. And so when we compare, and if it's okay with you for me to share some perspectives that I have been trained to understand, and one of them is Napoleon Hill, and he, you know, he's like a great grandfather of everything that every self-help teacher and every person in the entire industry is now teaching, and he has two laws that I live by in business, and the first one is the law of least effort, which means that if there's an easy way to do it, if we don't have to recreate the wheel, if we can learn from someone else, effort is necessary, but the least effort. Sometimes in the past, you know, I used to do things the hard way, and the Cosmic Accounting talks about some of those struggles and difficulties, like making the decision to choose, because sometimes we associated success, or some of us, including myself, with hard work and dedication and struggle and pain, and, you know, and because of that association, we choose experiences that are not like the one you and I are having now, which is fun and friendly and educating and learning from each other. It was more about doing it yourself, doing it on your own, learning the hard way, putting in the long hours. I still put in long hours, but it's not always the case. I call it, one of my coaches call it tempoing, which means, you know, we put in a week or two or three of an intense period, and then we take some time off and we relax. So it's kind of like an ebb and flow in business, you know, following kind of a curve. So the other law that Napoleon Hill talks about is the law of going the extra mile. And I'm a firm believer in that one, meaning that according to high spiritual principles, and these go back to the ancient Sanskrit text, a lot of modern society focuses on the outcome and the goal, and they control the outcome. And they don't just release it. Like in my case, I'll make a goal, or I'll make an objective that I'd like to reach, because according to Napoleon Hill, if we don't have a definite plan and we don't know where we're going, the mind will start to wander. It'll go in different directions. So in the Eastern philosophy, they call it Lakshmi, or Laksh, which means the goal or the outcome, or, you know, in her other name, Lakshmi means the goddess of wealth, and she has many forms, you know, like cattle, you know, she has houses, cars, cash, you know, commodities, grains, you name it, transportation, everything like that, and actually cash in the bank. So she has different forms of wealth. And when I talk about wealth and I talk about success and I talk about money, I like to talk about what has meaning to us. Like at this point in your life, having an extra $10 million may not be as valuable as being able to share your talent and your knowledge and your expertise and your intelligence. Maybe your intelligence in terms of ideas and thoughts and things like that is much more important to you than the actual cash in the bank. So another thing I was learning from this wealth coach the other day was that, you know, a lot of wealthy people don't have a lot of cash, that they have their money is either an investment or in some sort of something else. And I like to think of myself that way, where, you know, maybe it's not a great big fortune cash in the bank, but it's also, it's the ability to generate revenue and keep that cash flowing. It's also the the things that matter to me, like relationships, love, compassion, having the ability to have freedom of time, having the quality of life that I want, having flexibility. A lot of the soft things matter to me more than just the cash in the bank. And, you know, in cosmic accounting, there's nine different areas of that.